Save time with the Claresy, Matt and Kimber catch-up and save 35% on your natural gas charges when you switch to Clean Heat. T's and C's apply.
Hi, this is Claresy, Matt and Kimber, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
This is our Friends of the Show catch-up podcast with our favourite regulars.
Plus the special guests and celebs who hung out with us this week.
This week on his drought tour of drought-stricken areas of Australia, our beloved leader Big Mel is out and about. Big Mel, good morning.
Good morning to you, Claresy. Hello to you, young Matthew, and of course, Kimber. Good morning to everyone listening on Mix 94.5 in Perth. Of course, Claresy, I note that Nat Faf has taken a week's suspension. Do you think he should challenge?
Challenge. He wants a Brownlow.
He wants the Brownlow. You've got to get votes to win a Brownlow, mate. Bang.
Oh, way through. Look out.
We'd rather win games.
Maybe keep the elbow down, champ.
Now, Big Mel, what about the weekend? Did you get out the popcorn and watch Barnaby's interview on Sunday night?
Oh, Kimber, I was riveted. Yes, the cranius copulatus, beta vulgaris, or the beetroot ahead. I watched it in all its magnificent incendiary glory, a slow-mo train wreck between a couple of munters living in a nightmare of exposed brick somewhere deep in New England. Talk about waking fright. When those two imbeciles wake up, they must scream blue murder when confronted with their own reality. I loved it. But I think it's goodbye to Barnaby now. He'll leave Parliament and he'll go and work for Gina Rinehart, thereby ensuring he'll never have sex in the workplace again.
Now, sir, that bloke that gave you the bird, flipped you the bird, he's up on serious charges.
He has. He's embroiled himself in some serious business with the police. But the bird is a slippery slope, Matthew.
Yes.
Behold and respect the power of the bird. It's a gateway, like in Star Wars, where Obi-Wan Kenobi says to Luke, use the Force. Yes. I say never let the bird go into the dark side. It too is a fleshy lightsaber and should be reserved for heavy traffic and not for prime ministers. So keep the
bird for good
and not for evil.
Okay, the sacrilegious bird. Hey, Big Mel, look, more infighting at One Nation. Is it finally over for Pauline?
Well, Pauline's been on the political scene since 96. It's 22 years, and I think that finally the defections and upheavals have cost her, and it's time to return to the humble fish and chip shop. Mind you, Claresy, it'll be a steep learning curve. The price of dim sims have gone from 60 cents to $1.50.
Yeah.
There are some things that weren't on the menu back in 96. Corn jacks, for example.
Yes.
And still, the crab stick was making its way onto the menu in 96. Minimum chips have gone from $2.20 to $14.70. An economic benchmark, but it is also a multicultural indicator. Dim sims are Chinese, potato cakes are English, and who knows where the fish cake is from.
So many good inflation figures. Big Mel.
Absolutely. Now, before I go, I want to say the Mix 94.5 rocks Banksia Grove.
Oh, to the north. To the north.
Absolutely nothing out there. I've never been there, and I never will.
The Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Well, as our next guest from the Catherine Tate Show, as if that's not enough, to Doctor Who, to the US version of The Office, a multi-award-winning, wonderful English comedian and actress, Catherine Tate, is on the line. Can you believe it? Coming to Perth. Catherine, good morning and welcome.
I can't believe it myself, but I'm so pleased.
We're so excited.
Catherine, you've got an all-new sketch show. You're touring it live. Now, I saw you on the project last night saying that you cater the show to the locals with local references. Now, the three of us are all Perth-born and bred. Are there things we can help you with? Do you need to know dodgy suburbs, rich suburbs? Is there anything we can prep you for?
I definitely want... Well, the first thing I want to know is Perth amenable to for my Nan character to be telling them that it's rubbish there?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I feel like they're ready.
Are they ready for that?
Yeah, they're ready.
Because it's like I was saying last night on the project... You know, in the UK, it's what people live for. It's we live to be told everything's rubbish. We love it.
It's all right. The Perth people might get out their backhoes and stuff. I don't know. Like.
Yeah, it might be a bit tricky.
I'll hit you with their walking sticks on the way out. No, that'll be fine. They're ready for it.
But we are going to definitely tailor make it because it's fun. It's fun to do stuff that's specific and, you know, that's how they know that, you know... You've done a bit of bespoking of the material to each place, and because there's set points in the show where I do talk to the audience, and there is a little bit of audience participation. Obviously, that completely changes every night anyway. depending on how people react.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's, I think it's always nice to just go round, even if it's just for an hour before the venue, and just even name check local staff, you know, because it's just, you know, it just makes it more personal, I think, to the audience.
Absolutely. And Catherine, have you come across an Australian so far on your travels that you thought, oh, hello, this could be another Edinburgh Festival show right here?
A new character.
Yeah.
I haven't yet, but my eyes are always open.
Oh, well, do look to our political landscape. You'll probably find one there.
Oh, so
many.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I'm intrigued by the sort of tabloid stuff that's unfolding about the gentleman that...
Oh, yeah.
Had a baby with someone.
Yes, Barnaby Joyce.
Yeah,
yes,
all you need to say is Barnaby.
Barnaby Joyce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't even need the Joyce.
Yeah, I mean that's a show right there, isn't it? Really?
Absolutely.
I think it is official. Yeah. He's the only Barnaby in the country. We're not certain there's another.
Yeah, it's a fairly out there name, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he's very famous, infamous in our country for other reasons. He had a run in with Johnny Depp a few years ago, something to do with Johnny bringing his dogs to Australia.
With his dogs. Yeah. Oh, I do remember that. Yeah,
that was the guy.
Right.
Oh, there you go. Right. The wheels are turning. I can hear it.
Yeah, you're creating six skits right there. Hey, Catherine, I just want to know, I know you're a big fan of Ricky Gervais. I'm a huge fan. Yeah. I love Ricky, but I love Stephen Merchant possibly even more.
Absolutely.
He's such a
talent. Hello, ladies.
Hello, ladies. Is there a contemporary comedian out there that you love, you know, other than Ricky? Is there someone out there that is not necessarily going to influence your material, but someone that you just go, what a talent? And every now and then I wish I thought of that one.
Well, you know what? It's going to sound a little bit like nepotism because I'll be keeping it in the family.
That's okay.
I mean, not in the familial family, but in my I would have to say my favourite stand-up is probably, and I'm sure it's somebody that you know in this country. He's called Lee Mack.
Oh yes, yep. Mm-hmm. Me too. Yeah,
and
yep.
He's a friend of mine, and he kind of gave me my break. Really, in fact, I sometimes wonder, really begrudgingly, if it wasn't for Lee, would anything have happened? with me, because he asked me when he saw me doing stand-up on the circuit years ago, he said to me, oh, you know, in his, you know, incredibly sort of slightly rude northern way, oh, you're quite good at voices, do you want to come to Edinburgh with me? And I said, oh, okay. And we did this sketch show, and I did a sketch show with him for 2 years, and then I kind of broke out on my own. But it was having the, you know, it was suddenly having a platform, having been with Lee, and we got nominated for the Perrier Award at Edinburgh, that it kind of broke me out, I think. And he has said my favourite joke of all time, and you know, you say like, oh, I wish I'd never I wish I'd thought of that one. His joke that I absolutely love is, there are three kinds of people in this world: those who can count and those who can't. It is a perfect joke.
It is a perfect joke.
I absolutely love it, and I know he's had a lovely time when he's been to Australia. And in fact, I think he certainly travelled around Australia. I don't know if he used to live here, but he really loves Australia. And and I'm very, very, I'm very excited to come back and do live shows and just see what it's like. Because, you know, we had a great time going around the UK, and I'm sure it'll be the same coming around Australia and New Zealand. But it will be different. I'm sure it will be different.
Yeah, it will be different. Yeah. Hey, Catherine, the weather here right now is rubbish, but when you're here in November to play the Riverside Theatre, bring your bathers because it's going to be magnificent in Perth. We'll get you down to Scarborough Beach.
Oh, how lovely. Yeah, no, I can't wait. Yeah.
Excellent.
Catherine, great to catch up with you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
This will fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Oh, what a beauty. Talking footy with Dennis Kennedy.
Like a cork in the ocean over his head.
Pretty much a halfway point of the AFL season all of a sudden, isn't it? After round 11, Dennis Kennedy. G'day, mate. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. How you doing?
Oh, good. Den, not so well now. Fifey might have blown it. How's he going to get the Brownlow now?
Well, he's like Luke Cage. He's dealing with his past.
True.
look, I wasn't surprised when I watched it on TV, I've got to say. I was watching alone, so no one influenced me, and I thought that he was in trouble. And I think he could have done more to avoid Greenwood's head. Greenwood didn't take the ball, he punched it away. It's bad luck for Fife because he's probably leading in the Brownlow now. I've argued for Nat on previous occasions, but I can't in this one. So I think he's in trouble. I don't think they'll change their mind. What did surprise me was the Brotherhood of Commentators. They said he wouldn't get suspended, he'd just get a fine. and he was still suspended. Michael Christian doesn't take any notice of commentators. Commentators, I think, try and get people off. I think I do over the years. But, you know, when someone does something like that, particularly high-profile players, you don't want to see them rubbed out. But, no, I think he's got the job in front of him, Nat, to play this next weekend.
Yeah, when the word intent is used, it's a problem, isn't it?
Well, we can't play on the popularity of the players either. They still have to follow the rules.
Yes, within reason. I think the rules have been bent on occasions for popular players in the past. But, no, I just can't see how he gets out of this one. Still, it's worth a try. I mean, it's just a fine. And Fremantle, I think, would like a Brownlow medalist because the season's not going so well.
No, Den, and to that point, the grumbling seems to be getting louder with the knives coming out. I mean, since the minor premiership of 2015, you know, results haven't been great for Freo. Where are they as a club? And is there another AFL club that they can use as a template to move forward?
Well, Hawthorn of about a decade ago, probably. Yeah. But hard to do that, isn't it? I think their list is just a worry. It's hard to see any quick fix. I can't see one anyway. They've fallen, as you say, Matt, fallen a long way in a short time. Incidentally, how many winners did you pick this week? I read about you. I heard about you. Time you pick the card. I think I've done it twice in my career. Nothing. And suddenly you're the man.
They got 8 out of 8 last week.
Oh, look, it didn't last long. The run didn't last long.
It's a sheen gone off it.
Yeah, it has, yes.
It's not easy to do, is it?
No.
Yeah.
These teams let you down.
Yeah. I guess, Dan, if you lose Pavlich, McFarlane, Crowley, Barlow, and the other guys are getting older, it's going to be difficult for Freo.
Well, yes, but you don't see any sort of reserves coming on, do you really? I don't anyway. I think they've done well in the draft in the first two picks, perhaps. But after that, it still looks pretty thin. And the problem is, you're going to, and this sounds terrible, but you're going to waste the career of Fife. I think that's the problem. Mm. He'll be retiring probably in a few years. Whether they can make a run in that time is problematic.
Oh, well, enough of the losers, Den. On to the winner. Oh,
yeah.
You know I don't have a foot in either camp, but the West Coast Eagles,
You're so upbeat.
Can it get any better for the Eagles going into this bye, Den?
Into the bye? Well, I think what happened, let's take first things first. I think they were thinking of the bye in the last quarter against St Kilda, weren't they? That's human nature, and I think it's not a bad thing because if you finish on a downer, you don't go away and sort of rest on your laurels as much. Had they sort of just massacred them in the last quarter, I would have been more concerned. I think this is a good way to go out. They won the game and probably gee themselves up for the next one when they come off the bye. So, no, I think all is good as far as the Eagles are concerned. A big discussion point in Melbourne, of course, is the number of free kicks the Eagles are getting at home.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say partisan crowds affect umpires everywhere, don't they? That's just a fact of life. But what people are missing is the Eagles' quality. I think that's the biggest factor. First to the ball and playing so well, you get free kicks.
Yeah. Dan, we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Okay.
Of course, an Eagles bye, but not for Freo. They've got a home game, but against Adelaide, which will be interesting, but we'll be analysing your tips, mate.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Not too closely, I hope. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Look, comedy superstar Jeff Dunham is coming to Perth. He's playing Perth Arena on Thursday, September 27th. Tickets through ticketmaster.com.au. What a star he is. We mentioned earlier, Guinness Book of World's record holder for most tickets sold for a stand-up tour and so much more. Some of his online YouTube hits have been phenomenal, like through the roof. And he's bringing his slightly demented bunch of characters, Walter and Bubba Jay, and of course, Ahmed, the dead terrorist. He's on the line right now. We'll catch up with the man himself. Jeff Dunham, how are you, mate? You going well?
Everything's great. You know, and I just got back from doing shows in the UK and in Iceland, and so I was looking at the time things. Like, what is the flight? I've been there a couple of times. What is the flight? Is it like 21 hours from the west coast of the United States? Something stupid like that, right?
It's best not to think about it. Just get a good book, get some DVDs, watch something on the plane.
Put aside 2 days, you'll be fine.
Well, I fill the iPad up with movies, and by the time you're done with a flight like that, you go, what did I do with my life? I did absolutely nothing.
And lost a day.
Jeff, I mean, I think ventriloquism is quite the party trick. Have you ever thrown your voice to get out of a situation? I mean, I'm making out like you're some kind of MacGyver here, but you know, how else can ventriloquism, you know, assist your life?
Well, you know, by the way, there are plenty of guys who you hear about stories about them getting in arguments with their dummies in locked hotel rooms or backstage in a dressing room by themselves. And, you know, I haven't gone down that route. One of my earliest things that I did, I was in high school. I was like in the 11th or 12th grade, and it was during government class. And I could do a really loud siren. And so we have a lot of tornadoes in Texas. And I stuck my head out the door and did my really loud siren into upstairs B hall. And I started the entire upstairs B hall on a tornado drill where we all march outside, go to our lockers, put our heads down. And so I got sent to the principal's office for that. So I was very proud of that.
That's cool.
Hey, Jeff, we live at a time when it's very easy for comics to offend people. And I mean, I've seen YouTube footage of you in places like, you know, Malaysia, perhaps, where it might be very easy to say something that goes down wrong. Do you think that because of your act that you're forgiven more easily because you have these characters on stage that are allowed to say things that aren't actually coming out of your mouth, inverted commas?
Well, you know, people like to think that. They like to think that I'm some sort of stand-up comic trying to get away with stuff because I have the dummies and I say outlandish things, and I can get away with it because of the dummies, like South Park would because, you know, they're a cartoon.
Mm. Yeah.
But in all honesty, I think if you've been on stage long enough and enough years, you have enough experience to know where that line is for whatever particular audience it is. And, you know, before I went to Abu Dhabi, before I went to Malaysia, both obviously heavily Muslim countries, and I have Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, it's like, what can I say? What can I not say? And no, I'm not on stage trying to get away with stuff because I have dummies. Those dummies to me are characters that I happen to write jokes for. If I have one question that I ask the dummies, if I'm a good enough comedy writer, each one of those characters will have a different answer to that specific question.
Yeah.
So I think that's why people come over and over to my shows year after year here in the States and around the world, is because it's just safe, stupid, goofy fun. I'm not trying to teach anybody anything. I'm not trying to persuade anybody of anything. You're just supposed to come out and have fun.
Hey, Jeff, the venue you play is called the Perth Arena, right? So it's the same venue where Bruno Mars has played recently. Bon Jovi, Pink plays there whenever she does her 47 shows when she comes to Perth. And Cher is coming, mate, to the same venue as you. Welcome to the big time, my friend.
Well, you know what? If somebody ever told me that, you know, if somebody had told me a number of years ago that there's going to be a guy on stage with his dolls talking to his dolls and is going to sell as many tickets as whoever, I would have found that hard to believe. So it is pretty amazing, and it's fantastic that I get to come to your guys' side of the world and entertain there. You know what I don't like about Australia? There's only one thing I don't like.
What you got?
The chocolate. Your chocolate sucks.
Oh, Jeff, how dare you? I was about to make you quite an honorary person in our country, but we need to have a very serious chat.
Well, maybe it was the particular store that my wife and I went into, but we were all excited, and we got this stuff, and it was like, what happened?
Okay, well, we'll get the backstage right, mate. We'll get you some Hershey's.
Okay, that sounds good.
You'll be good. Thanks, buddy. All the best. We'll see you in September.
Hey, I look forward to being there.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Shut up. The boys on the radio.
He's an All-Australian, the best wingman in AFL, and he's our man inside the West Coast Eagles. Let's talk footy with Andrew Gaff on Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
We're happy to have him, and Matt's got someone to talk about Love Island with, Andrew Gaff.
Absolutely.
Morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
We were going to talk about what a great run you're having, but you guys really wanted to cover off what happened last night. Matt, you missed the episode. Gaffy, you're watching all of Love Island.
Yes, had to keep Matt updated with what happened last night as he missed it. Inexcusable reason.
Yeah, it is inexcusable. But now I know Kim got evicted. I was playing indoor cricket.
No, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
But I'm very keen to know because I love it, and I'm also jealous. And it's a conflicting
jealous
emotion. Well, because I know, you know, my girlfriend finds a couple of them quite hot. So it's sort of like touching a sore tooth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's on 5 days a week as well. What else am I gonna?
Yeah.
Watch during the week, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you need to relax, Gaffy, because you've had big weeks, big runs. I see, too, that for Food Bank WA, you were running to donate some meals. You'd run 16 kilometres in a game. You must feel awful after every match.
Yeah, I saw that actually up on the screen on the weekend as the game was going as well. And, it's obviously a great thing that I can provide and help people in need and all that. But, yeah, definitely takes its toll the next couple of days. I feel like people that know me in the club know that I don't really walk too well the first couple of days after games, and takes me until probably Wednesday to start feeling good again for the main training session of the week. But
I can see why. 16 kilometres is a lot.
Yeah, it's a strength of mine. And feel like I contribute that to the team and to contribute to society and helping those in need is even more beneficial, yeah.
Good on you, mate.
Okay.
Awesome.
So Jack Darling's out for a few weeks, mate. When he went down, it looked like he'd broken his leg. Like he was in a really bad way, a lot of pain.
There is
a fracture there, right?
Yeah, well, I thought he actually sort of got hit in ribs or wings and all that because he was sort of, I think he was rolling around a bit on the ground and I didn't say what happened, but I think for a 4 to 6 week result is not too bad compared to what some people first thought straight away. And with the bye at the moment, obviously we don't have a game this weekend. Hopefully it's only another 3 weeks until he's out there and we want him out there when he's back at his absolute full fitness.
But isn't sport a great evener when you think about it? If you think about Jack Darling and Nat Fyfe, what's happened in the last week or so, these guys are absolutely on fire. They've both been getting pretty high in the Brownlow contenders and all of a sudden boys have got a break.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, you've got to make the most of those times where you're going well and enjoy it because like Nat and Jack have now seen things turn pretty quickly without any sign of something that's going to happen. So we hope to get him back as soon as possible, but we're going to have to reshuffle our team around probably the next couple of weeks. But we feel we've got guys that are playing well enough, as we've shown, winning 10 in a row to hopefully make it 11 and 12.
Yeah, speaking of enjoying it, it must be a wonderful time, you know, and feeling around the club when you're doing so well. I mean, I guess you obviously keep a lid on it because you're professional and there's a long way to go, but it must be an exciting place to be around.
Definitely. The spirit is as high as ever been since I've been at the club for 8 years now. And it's really, you see the enjoyment and enthusiasm everyone has around the club. And that's something that, as I said before, you've got to appreciate those times because there's times where some teams, and we've luckily never been in that stage, where you might lose 5-6 in a row. And that's obviously pretty tough as a footy club. So it's a fine balance between making the most of your position but also acknowledging how good it is at the moment. And we hope to further build on that.
Well, also don't want to change anything. So far it's working. So no, everybody don't stick out of step.
Don't change it.
No jinxing.
So in the bye week, mate, do you sneak in a couple of chocolates or a couple of beers? What do you do?
A couple. I went down to Mandurah for a couple of days and a few boys went further down south and we go back tomorrow. So we've had 4 days off now and I think once we come back tomorrow, we're sort of back into it pretty seriously. And I think it's probably almost a blessing in disguise, hopefully, the fade out against the Kilda on the weekend. We know we've got to focus on a few things and work on a few things for next week's match against Sydney, which is as tough as a challenge as you can get. But no doubt the last couple of days you enjoy a pizza like I did, which I don't have too often.
Good man.
And just little things that you can afford to do in a bye weekend.
Nice.
Very nice. Well, start prepping your Brownlow speech. You never know, mate.
That is silly.
You're racking up 30 a week, mate. Hey, good to see you.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Mum is the word. The word is the word that you heard.
Back again, ready for action, Janelle Koenig. G'day, how are you?
I'm ready for so much action this very week.
Are you?
Yes, you know I am, Matt.
Oh, look at you.
Are you here for a live version of Hits From Your Hood for Thornley, you two?
Well,
not live.
Okay.
But there's definitely, lots of couples that have done duets have eventually fallen in love. So I'm just saying maybe Thornley might create something very special.
Well, that's... You've certainly been on my back burner for quite some time, haven't you?
I like the first Thornley song better, but anyway.
So did I. So this morning, a dream came true for me, an absolute mum milestone. Mm. My 9-year-old appeared this morning with a pimple.
Oh,
I know, Kimber.
Why would you wish this upon someone?
Because if I was not a comedian, I would be a dermatologist. I know you're not going to like this, Kim, but I know how you feel about bodily things.
Yeah.
But I love squeezing, picking.
You're a squeezer. Oh,
yeah.
You're into the cleanup.
No. So she turned up with a pimple, like middle of her nose, like the butterfly that lands on Bambi, like middle.
So
a big,
we're talking whitehead.
Whitehead.
Okay.
Oh, a whitehead.
It's right in your wheelhouse, isn't it?
A white, ripe whitehead.
Oh.
It was ripe.
Yeah, get her
anyway,
a tissue.
So of course, you know what I did, guys. You know what I did?
Yep.
I got a a cotton wool ball that had been previously untouched by human hand.
Sure.
And delicately dabbed some tea tree oil just around the area to dissolve the redness. That's what I did.
You did not. You squeezed it like
I taught my daughter how to squeeze.
Yeah.
The joy.
On the mirror?
The joy. Absolutely. Right. The toothpaste.
Oh, God, I'm going to be sick.
Sorry about anyone having
Even
breakfast.
Though I'm a squeezer myself of my own things. Of my own things, not of someone else.
Yeah. Maybe if it was your child, though, you'd understand the joy.
Maybe.
So it was just, and so she got it and she squeezed it and it came out and we put a little bit of cover up that was special too for baby's first makeup. And it was so special and now I just can't wait until she's a teenager.
Oh, this is, I can't handle it. It's too much.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Who better to join in the party from Pseudo Echo? Brian Canham. The gigs across Perth this weekend. Firstly, mate, welcome and good to have you back
in
Perth.
Thanks, guys. Good to see you.
It's great to have you here, Brian. We had the pleasure of seeing you live at our 80s night a couple of years ago. I can't remember what year it was now. And the listeners still mention the gig to us. Do you think that there was a sort of romanticism about the 80s music that we still love?
Yeah, most certainly. And the fact it was held at an old sort of iconic venue. It had a very rock and roll look about it. And it was a good vibe, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Well, I think there's romanticism around the 80s music because it was great music. I mean, we're just sitting here, you know, reminiscing about that song, 1984. For me, I would have been 14. Not really a question here, but I want to tell you a story around that time.
Yeah, great.
Me and my mates played on a Ouija board. Yeah. Right, and
as you do.
Okay, interesting, mate.
And we all had our fingers on the glass, and it was like, you know, we were talking to someone, and I was pushing the glass, and one of my mates said, "Who's your favourite band?" And I spelled out Pseudo Echo.
How was your spelling?
I think I got it wrong, but everyone still lost their mind. So you were so much a part of our conversation in those days.
Yeah, great.
There's nothing wrong with that. Mate, I'll just take you back in time because I've got a 12-inch single here of A Beat For You.
Oh,
it's a bit beaten up, this copy here. But
that's a
sign of a tragedy.
Well used.
Yeah, sort of keep everything. But, mate, I just want to know, a lot of bands, especially like a band like V Capri in Perth, played a lot of kids.
Yeah,
They played kids' gigs at schools to broaden their audience. Did you ever play any of those Blue Light Discos?
You know, I played Blue Light Disco when I was about 16.
Right.
And, I remember it was a big moment for me because I did it at the local hall in Mundura with my band. And I decided that I'd really go all out, and I had my blue satin pants on, a white sort of hippie kurta, and I decided that, you know, in the climax of the evening, I'd whip the guitar up and play it with my teeth like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, great.
And I did, and it was all going well until the string caught my gum and lacerated a whole section of my gum, and blood came gushing out. And I just sort of grabbed a bit of gum and just shoved it back up and continued on.
So rock and roll.
That's rock and roll flossing right there, isn't it?
Blood on the guitar. It was just fantastic.
So from Hendrix to Gene Simmons.
Now, I don't know what I'm leading you into here or leading us into, because off air you said you've got a story about Subiaco.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what do you got?
Look, I'd have to compact it down a bit because it was a story from my beautiful Italian Nana, who's no longer with us, but she has the most amazing Italian accent too, which I probably couldn't do as good as her. But she did say to me one day in the early 80s, she said that she was a bit unhappy that the guys in the band hadn't shared their Tazzlotto winnings with me. And I said, what are you talking about, Nana? And she said, they say they, you know, that one from Sudoico, he win Tazzlotto. And I said, no, I'd know, you know. And she said, oh, they should be sharing it with you and all. So I said, oh, Nana, relax, you know. Didn't know what she was on about. But anyway, that night I went home, and on the news I heard them say, you know, and we had our first division winner from Subiaco.
Okay. That's awesome.
So every time I visit Subiaco, I just, you know, my Nana's story comes back.
Nothing like a memory like that.
Lovely.
And, mate, you know, you look fantastic. As Kimber said, we saw you live. You're still absolutely, you know, your voice and the playing is brilliant. You obviously still love doing what you do.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, we keep the vibe in the band. Yeah. We update the band every now and then. A few people come and go, and it always keeps it nice and fresh.
Yeah. When do you throw in real life, send me an angel into your set sometimes, right? Does David Steery from Real Life hate that or love that?
No, he loves it.
Oh, good.
He keeps threatening he's going to sing Listening.
Hey, good to see you, mate. The gigs, of course, Saturday at the North Shore Tavern. Great pub. The Charles, of course, a classic pub. So ticketmaster.com.au and good of you to share a few memories.
Yeah,
and
cheers.
Catch up again, Brian Cannon.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Shut up.
He's an AFL superstar, a Doig medalist for Frio's Best and Fairest, and he's our man inside the Fremantle Dockers. It's Lucky Neil on Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
Lucky Neil in the building here, Frio versus the Crows, 2 p.m. at Optus on Mix 94.5. Welcome, mate. And why are there paperclips sticking to your leg? What's going on there?
Oh, I've just got a little magnet on there at the moment trying to, as you said, attract some paperclips.
Just see how many you can pull in. Now, look, bit of a rough season and hasn't been going the way that you would plan, obviously. But what's keeping you going? What are you playing a song? Do you dance around the living room? Is there something that really keeps your energy up for you personally?
I think for me, it's probably the youth that we've got at the club. It's still pretty vibrant at the club, although the results aren't going our way at the moment. It's really exciting to see some of the young guys come through, and we had a couple more debutants on the weekend. And when you see those young guys energised and ready to go on the weekend, it sort of brings everyone else up. And already there was 10 draftees, two other new guys coming in. But of the 10 draftees, a lot of them have debuted and they've been at the club for 7 months now, I think. And to see them grow and develop in such a short space of time is really exciting, and you can really see what the future will hold for us, and that's what keeps I think a lot of the senior players really energised and vibrant, because we can see those guys growing, and in the next 6-18 months who knows where they can take us. So as long as they jump on board and buy into everything that we're trying to do, then it's really exciting for the future of the club.
And I guess those young guys, they don't carry any luggage from previous meetings with a team like Adelaide. They're just like, yeah, bring it on. Yeah, I don't care who you are.
And they're really excited to play against grand finalists. Even last week going to the MCG, we've played there twice now, and as a kid growing up, it's a dream to play on the G. So
yeah, of course.
They're just really excited to get out there every week, and they're excited to learn and grow and get better. So that's exciting.
I want to talk about the coach, mate. He used to be known as Ross the Boss. Now he's Ross the Floss. I don't know if you heard that story where he was flossing his teeth in the box on the weekend.
Was he?
He was. He took a little floss.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, you'd probably get in trouble at 3/4 time if you were flossing your teeth, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd probably get in trouble. But as you said, Ross the Boss can probably do what he wants.
Yeah, is he a screamer? Like, I'm talking about when you're in that, you know, you're in 5 or 6 goals down. Is Ross a screamer? Or is he a controlled kind of angry coach?
He's pretty controlled. Every now and then he does get fired up, I suppose, but I think this year and the last couple of years he's calmed down quite a bit. But there were times when we were up and going, and like 2013 and 14 and 15, where he was angrier than what he
really.
What he
has really? Is that because the expectations were so high?
Probably.
Yeah.
But these days, it's the whiteboard. All right, Lockie, I want you to keep doing what you're doing. And guys, just important, oral health.
Yeah.
It really is important. Let's keep those gums healthy.
Yeah, I should probably learn a thing or two.
Oh, me too, brother.
I can imagine he was pretty upset after that. Yeah, the 2015 prelim. He might have been doing a bit of Ross, a bit of the glare.
Well, Adelaide on Sunday, you guys planning to kick a few balls, get a few things through the post?
Kick a few balls?
Yeah.
That's exactly what Ross said in his speech.
Yeah, that'll bring the Crows down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, they've got quite a few players out at the moment as well. So Nathan won't be playing, which gives an opportunity for one of the younger guys to step into the midfield. And
Nathan, it sounds like he's been in trouble. We only call him Nathan when he's been naughty.
I call him Nathan all the time.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Nathan Fife.
It's exciting. Their midfield, they've got a lot of good players out. So there's no reason why we can't get it done this week. So we look forward to it.
Too right. Yep.
Okay. Might have some more debutants. You never know. And that Jones, Ruckman, he's a big boy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's massive. And seeing him play on the weekend and how excited and even in the last quarter, his voice and energy was right up there. And that sort of keeps us going. So that was important.
Game had opened up, so it became a bit of a goal scoring fest, didn't
it? Yeah, I think he kicked one in the last quarter as well. And so did young Steph. So
And his family were crying in the stands, young Steph.
Oh, were they?
Yeah,
oh.
It was very good to see. They kept putting it on Twitter.
I think he had like 29 people there or something.
Stephen Giro. Giro is how you say it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Hey, good to see you, mate. It's in the words of Kimbo, go and kick some balls.
Will do.
Lucky Neil.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Singer-songwriter who's taking it to the world now. Her name is Amy Shark. That's I Said Hi. And she's coming back to Perth. She was here last month, but August 25th she's going to be playing Metros in Frio. Here's another one of her songs, Adore. The overnight success story, more than a decade in the making, to throw in a cliche. The debut album, Love Monster, you could say had humble beginnings in the folks' record collection. You know, Cat Stevens and Silverchair and The Police and the rest of it. Amy Shark, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. Amy, congratulations on the success. And your life has changed. I mean, you're rubbing shoulders with Katie Holmes and there you are on the James Corden show. Do you have to pinch yourself sometimes or does it sort of feel like it's been the right trajectory for you?
You never meet these people and think, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. You always feel awkward and weird. And especially because it has happened so quick. But yeah, every now and then I'll be on like a long plane ride and I'll think about the tour that I was just on or the people that I met. And it's really overwhelming. But, you know, a lot of the time I'm sort of hit the ground running and I'm working and I'm playing shows and I'm meeting people. So I'm just keeping up and it's hard to do it there and then. It's usually the aftermath. Yeah. You think about, wow, that was huge.
Well, Amy, you won Best Pop Release and Breakthrough Artist at the ARIA Awards. Did you ever think about music in terms of accolades? Were you imagining yourself taking home an ARIA or was it just you always doing what you love?
I think you do grow up looking at that, but I never looked at it thinking I could ever be the person. I used to watch the ARIAs all the time. I used to go to festivals and think, wow, imagine what it feels like to be that person. I don't think I ever even imagined what I'd do up there or what it like, because it just felt so far removed from my life, you know? Yeah, I believe that I started writing music for all the right reasons and that I do it because I love doing it. It was just a fun hobby and I was so passionate about it and so into it. So it's so amazing that I get to do this every day.
I feel like I could sing at home in my lounge room, but I don't think about what it would look like to be up on stage and go, okay, but can I do that cool thing with my leg? Does that look cool or does that
different. It's very different when there's a room full of people and, you know, even in rehearsals we'll rehearse and then, you know, when you are just about to go on stage and there's like so many people there, it's such a strange feeling. Everything's different.
And you played Perth in May and you're back on August the 25th to play Metros in Frio. You enjoy coming to Perth? Good audiences?
I love Perth. Perth is beautiful. And surprisingly, everywhere I travel to in America, everyone talks about Perth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we made it.
Yeah, you're on the map.
California down under.
But even before I came and played my first show in Perth, my very English grandma was like, oh, I'm so glad you're going to Perth. Perth is just lovely and you're going to have such a good time in Perth and Perth, Perth, Perth. So you guys have got a great rap.
Well, that's going on the promo. Amy Shark's Nana loves Perth.
We've got a great rap and a great rep.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that. Hey, Amy, I've got a silly confession. When I first heard I Said Hi, I was singing along and I was singing Tell Your Mum I Said Hi and I thought it was a strange ode to Rove McManus, as in Tell Your Mum I Said Hi.
I'm a fan of Rove, but not that big of a fan write that.
Yeah, exactly. Are there any songs that you've gotten the lyrics wrong forever?
Yes, so many actually. You know that In Excess song, Suicide Blonde?
Yeah.
I used to walk around the house when my parents would play that going, sitting beside a rock.
Sitting beside a rock.
Oh, mine's In Excess too. Mine's the Never Tear Us Apart. I thought it was two arms collided.
That's kind of sweet. That could be romantic.
Yeah. Probably.
And then also Michael Jackson, was it Jenny, Are You Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Annie, singing it wrong. I thought it was Annie, Are You Looking? Are You Looking at Me? Annie, Are You Okay?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got Jenny. So many. Yeah. And then now Jenny is a new one.
Jenny,
it's
Are You Okay?
It's a remix version.
There's a few of them in there. Good to talk to you and we'll see you in Perth soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. The Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Weekday mornings from 6 on Mix 94.5.